grace to you and peace from God who created all things and redeems all things in Jesus. Amen. Amen. The other day I was picking up a friend at the airport for a meeting, and there came walking across the little crosswalk Rabbi Schechter from the synagogue here. And being who I am, I thought, well, let's have some fun. And so I stuck my head out the window and I said, "Peter, Rabbi, Peter." And he turned around and he looked, and I could tell that he sort of knew he should know me. But I knew he wouldn't remember who I was. And I gave him the big Kansas wave, "Hi," you know. And he's thinking, "I should know this guy." But he had that look on his face that you know he didn't quite place me. And I drove off, and I'm sure all the way home he was thinking to himself, "Who was that Yahoo?" You've had that happen, I'm sure, where someone comes up and introduces themselves to you, and you know them, but you cannot place them. Often because they're out of context. You're not expecting it. And that's what happens to the disciples of Jesus on their way to the road, on the road to Emmaus. They have witnessed all of these terrible things that have happened and these wonderful things that have happened. And they're on the way home. And suddenly Jesus appears among them and they don't recognize him. He is out of place. Even though he had said that he would rise from the dead, and even though they had heard that it had happened, somehow in their heads they had hoped and prayed. When he appears, they don't know him. So they walk along, and I just love that scene. As they're walking along and saying, "Have you not heard what's happened to Jerusalem? Where have you been? Are you the only one that hasn't heard about how this one named Jesus came, and we were really hoping that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel, but they killed him? How could you not know?" And I'm thinking, Jesus is thinking, "I was there." And it's not until they invite him into the home and he breaks the bread that their eyes are opened and they know who he is. There's a little chiasm that happens in this text where they know Jesus and he gets killed, and they travel to Jerusalem and they know who Jesus is, and then he's killed, and they travel back home because they're dejected. Jesus appears to them, but they don't know him, and it's only in the revelation that they know him and they return to Jerusalem. It's a powerful story about how God surprises us in our lives with hope. One of the things I love about this text is that it's really a communion text, isn't it? One of the central things that we do together is the Eucharist, the communion. One of the things I love about this story is it says that they did not know who he was. They did not know him head. And yet he breaks bread with them. He communes with them. And in that communing, Christ is revealed. What I love about that is it's a wonderful text for our own communion, our own communio. I once had someone, and I've mentioned this to you before, complain that I'm very supportive of giving communion to children. And this person said to me, "How could you possibly give communion to children? Because they don't understand what's going on. They don't know what's going on in communion." And my response to that was that after 25 years of studying it, I don't know either. But I'm invited to the table. One of the things that this text says to me is that even though we don't know, we are welcome. In this powerful moment at the table, Christ is revealed to us who do not know and who do not recognize him in fullness. Now, there's lots of places. You remember the old communion practice, and it's still around in some places, where in order to go to communion, you must present yourself to the pastor and be deemed worthy. Do you know what's going on? What's so cool about this text is it draws us into communion, into the body of Christ. It invites us into God's grace, even though we are too ignorant to see him there. What's been going on for 2,000 years is that we have been traveling the road of Emmaus, and Christ has continually been breaking the body and opening it up and distributing it to God's people so that we may be known. That's the power of God's surprising presence. I often hear, and I read an article recently that wonders what's the matter with Christians. Because despite the fact that there are wars in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, despite the fact that people are starving all over the world, the children are dying, violence is everywhere, the economy is in the toilet, somehow Christians keep wanting to pretend. Somehow Christians keep wanting to believe in a hopeful God. How can that be? How can we keep coming back here week after week after week, proclaiming the reality and the presence of God in the midst of such sadness? We are like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We witness horrible things. We see our hopes dashed. But God comes into the midst of us anyway. And although we do not fully recognize Christ in our midst, though we are blinded by our own anxiety and fear, even though we are distracted by the many cares of the world, again and again, the story is told. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to every one of you, saying, "This is my body." The hope lies in the fact that we will gather around this communion. I love that word. And unless you're sitting in the same pew week after week, and shame on you if you are, you know who you are. Chances are you will come to the table and be next to someone new every week. A stranger. And you will have with that stranger the most intimate of meals. The breaking of bread and wine. The confession of faith, the reception of all that is good and right and holy every week. And you will take it into yourselves and then send it out. That's the hope. The disciples don't just eat with Jesus and lock themselves in. They go back to Jerusalem to hear how Christ has been raised from the dead. And then they don't stay in the upper room. Peter goes out and makes a fool of himself and tells everybody about it. Jesus surprisingly is recognized in the breaking of this bread every day. And in that hope, we are sent out into the world to bring light and bread for everyone. There is war in Afghanistan, hunger and violence in Darfur, in Namibia, in Nigeria, in Hawaii. People are hopeless. People are hungry. And the people of God are sent out, communio in hand, to bring light. How will the world recognize Jesus in the midst of all of this? They will recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread, in all of you. And as you are broken and laid out and poured out for the sake of the world, the hope of Jesus Christ, of his risen self, of his Alleluia presence, will be made known and hope will abide. We give thanks to God on this day that we are an Easter people who share with strangers and friends this communion to be bread broken for the world. Amen.